October 27, 2021, so watch for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Right.
Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Started off with people last Friday. I got this in the mail. John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, recorded live in Seattle, October 2nd, 1965. I got it. Now, the original's 33 minutes. He only did live a couple times. Only two of them, I think, were recorded. This is one of them. The other one he didn't like very much. And we don't know, because this was a private recording from the guy who played flute on Ohm. A guy named Joe Brazil. He's a teacher, too. And his widow found it after he passed away. Anyway, it's 77 minutes. That's including the interludes, which are basically, three of them are bass solos. One's Elvin, the drums. But I got this Friday, last week. And listened to it 15 times straight through. It's about 18 hours. Now, of course, I conked during some of that. I ain't Superman. But I'm still swimming in it. But this was just part one of Love Supreme Acknowledgement. Right? There's four parts of this week and then the interludes, like I said. And it's incredible. I recommend. It's, you could tell he knows it. He wrote it, you know. But the balls, to, like, hey, I, you know, wrote this intense thing. Now, you just you know, you don't know it. You want to jump in and jam on this? There's a lot of two bass stuff. This guy, Donald Garrett, is playing with Jimmy Garrison. And, I mean, it's just, it's, this ain't karaoke, okay, people? It's beautiful. And then after that, we had from the Taiwan Housing Project, Ideal Body Alignment, which kind of fits in a parallel universe, okay? We're going to talk about the lady behind that because of those software engineers in Estonia with their scrap invention. I got with me. Was Killen.
Hello.
Lunsford. Welcome aboard, Killen.
Hi, thank you. So it's actually Kylan. I don't usually correct people. I'm not good at that. I usually just let it go, but I figure for this.
Sure, you can be Kylan. In fact, you can be anything you want. It's your right, just because some idiot Pedro gets it wrong again. No, anyway, we got to thank Brother Bill Nace for the connect once again. He brought more beautiful music into my life. Thank you, Brother Bill. Where are you speaking to me from, Kylan?
Thank you for having me, and thanks to Bill as well. I am in Philadelphia.
Okay, where fucking Brother Bill is.
Yeah, South Philly. South Philly, baby.
That's right, that's right. I remember South 2nd Street. There was a lot of gigs used to be there. Pontiac Club, all kinds of stuff. And, boy, hard to find parking. Especially on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But I love playing there. I got to play near there. Some pad called Revival for a little while. It looked like a bank building. But I got to open up for Schoolie D. I got to meet him. He shook my hand. He said, hey, I'm Jesse. He was beautiful. He went home, boy
That's
Mike
awesome.
And James was with him. He had Code Money on the turntable. It was a mind blow. 100 miles of the train ride from New York City Amtrak, I remember, because Kim and Thurston came to see that gig. Okay, so I'm interested in your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection, memory, whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that this is really early, and actually, I would need to ask my mom what year this would be about, but it had to be, I was like 3 or so, which I know like a lot of people, when I start telling stories about when I was 3 and 4 with some vivid detail, they seem to not believe that I can remember that far back. But
they think you jive?
What'd you say?
They think you're jive, you're bullshitting or lying? Or,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, I think so. But whatever.
Yeah, fuck them. It's a Watt from Pedro Show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
I was born in Bluefield, West Virginia. And we lived with my great-grandfather. My dad was still finishing college. He went to school for mining engineering. And my grandfather was a coal miner. And also my dad was a coal miner at the time while he was finishing up college. And all my great-grandfather's good friends were coal miners or the wives of coal miners or whatever. So anyway, there was a man that was like, I thought of him like my grandfather, but he wasn't a relation. He was just a coal mining, like old coal mining buddy of my great grandfather's. And anyway, he would like he's actually the person who bought me, like, my first boombox, and I was really young, obviously. As I said, I was, like, 3 or something, and he bought me a bunch of tapes, like, you know, things I liked and wanted, and then he bought them. But I remember he had this, like, one tape that we would listen to when we would drive around in his truck, and it was, I don't know exactly what it was. I think it was a promo. So he was, he smoked cigarettes, and I think it was, like, some kind of, like, promo from, like, Winston's or something like that. But I remember it had the Warner Brothers logo on it, and it had the 2 songs I remember from it. He ended up giving it to me, and I would perform to the songs when I was, like, 4 or 5, because I kept it for – I probably still have it somewhere because I'm kind of a little bit of a hoarder. But,
oh, shit, hoarder. You know, I do remember a Winston song, though, Kylan.
It was like
joke words to it, okay? So this is from my grade school, right? And I'm 63. I'll be 64 in December. But it went, Winston tastes bad like the one I just had. No filter, no flavor. Tastes like used toilet paper.
That's amazing.
But they had a real song that didn't have that shit. But we were, of course, mocking it. And this might have been the song your grandpa/family friend was playing. I don't know. But look.
Let me get to the point. Sorry, I'm rambling. But it was, so it had the Judds, Have Mercy on It, and it had Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, so it's a compilation tape.
It was a compilation tape, but it was like a promo thing for, like, you got it with the cigarette, like, you turned in so many, I don't know how it worked, but you know what I mean? It was like
so many coffin nails, and you get a free compilation.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, it was This Ain't Dallas, Hank Williams Jr., and The Judds, Have Mercy. Those 2 songs were on it, and those are the songs I remember so well because I loved them, and I would perform to them, and I would sing them all the time.
Oh, you learned them. Okay. So they did make an impression on you.
Oh, yeah, there's, like, my mom has, she, like, videotaped me, because my parents, for, like, Christmas or something, they got me this, like, microphone that was, like, some sort of thing. It took batteries, and it had, like, you could hit these, it had a bass that you could hit these, like, buttons on it. You would, like, stomp on them, and they lit up, and you could change, like, maybe it had echo and reverb or whatever. I mean, it was like a toy, but it, you know.
No, but would you say that was your first musical instrument?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Now, was there other instruments in the pad? Did anybody, you know, everybody saw Deliverance, right? Was there a guy on the porch? Oh, fuck.
Actually,
that's just a lame joke, Kylan. Fuck that.
No.
Actually,
it's
beautiful. It ain't dueling banjos, though, because one of them's a guitar.
Yeah, one of them's a guitar, exactly. Well, the funny thing is, so that joke is, like, my dad would, like, tease us and try to, like, you know, my family's, like, really, like, my dad's side is, like, really into, like, horror movies, and my dad would always, like, joke with us about, you know, trying to scare us about things like that. And there was this, like, family that he would talk about that he'd say, they're gonna get you. And it was, like, they were these, like, you know, this, like, kind of urban legend. I mean, I think he made it up, or, like, my great-grandfather did, that they were, like, these inbreds that lived in the hills, and they were going to, like, kidnap us, like, or, like, the hills have eyes or some shit. So, anyway, that's not too far off.
You know that movie at the end, John Voight, you know, he's laying there in bed. He ain't getting to sleep, okay? He ain't getting to sleep. You know, and it ain't really those people's fault. They brought the shit into their, James Dickey, you know, that trippy book, trippy film. Probably the best one I like, Burt Reynolds. I mean, there's some inconvenient questions there. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God. And like Sly Stone said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at anyway. So was there musicians? Sure. Was there people playing stuff like guitars or fiddle? Or?
No, not really. Like, there weren't too many people playing instruments around, except for, so my great-grandmother, she was a pianist, actually, and I mean, pianist sounds actually like a little too like highfalutin for what she was, but she, with all due respect, she played like honky tonk piano, and like he would play at silent movie theaters and things like that. Obviously, this was before my time.
No, but that's kind of an improvise, right? So they'd watch the movie because there's no sound, and they're providing sound. Yeah.
Yeah. So she did that, and she was like a, you know, a scotch drinking, cigarette smoking, like sort of like tough woman. Yeah. And so she played in these kind of like, you know, these like juke joints or whatever, in Appalachia. And, that's
there must have been some kind of circuit, right? Between the hollers. You know, exactly. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
When I was in elementary school, one of our classes was band or music class or whatever. And, you know, they had us each assigned to an instrument, and I wanted to play saxophone.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with saxophone from like, again, it was like 4 or 5 years old. There was this TV show that was on in the 80s that was like a sitcom kind of thing about these girls that were like orphans. They lived in an orphanage. It was called Rags to Riches. And anyway, every once in a while they would like break out into song, and they would play, you know, like the hits, like Big Bopper, kind of like, Chantilly Lace or something like that. It was like, it had that kind of like.
Was it kind of like a musical? You know, a musical has, like, regular acting, and all of a sudden they fucking, the whole town bursts into song and shit.
It was usually just the kids. Like, okay. They would be, like, you know, but it was kind of that way, like, a musical. It was incorporated into the thing. Like, they'd be cleaning or something. Yeah. Like, oh, we're in trouble. We have to clean the orphanage. And then to make it fun, all of a sudden they, like, pull out their instruments and start, like.
right. But somebody was just talking about something like that. Let's put on a show. Maybe it was Mary who was just on the show, Stavitz. But something like this, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, let's put on a show, right? They did about 100 scenarios. You gave me this music here, Little Claw, okay? Winter Wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
I want to play Little Claw.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. overtakes, a sadness awakes, and erases the calm. A wave overtakes, a sadness awakes.
Yeah!
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Little Claw, Winter Wonderland, and People. I'm privileged with the world premiere of this tune. Kindly thank you so much, most kind. And then we had Kira. Kay's got a new album called Kira. And In the Quiet, then Hen Boggle from his new album, Screenshot, is the tune. SLWCC Watt, this is my collab with Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City with Get Shitty. And he wrote, like, we made this cassette EP. It's got 40 tunes, and it's like 10 minutes long. So he would have me write me these lyrics and write these tunes, put bass to them. Really interesting trade files. And finally, Taiwan Housing Project again. Tammy and her friends. Great, great tune. So let's get back to that microphone.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry, I'm kind of being long-winded. Yeah,
no, it's all right. Let's get back to that microphone, because you're using it like an instrument, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was singing and, like, performing, and at some point my mom or my dad or whatever recorded me, like, you know, performing songs. I would perform songs every once in a while.
So those were your first gigs?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Okay. I was always really shy performing.
Oh, you didn't tell us how saxophone worked out. Did you ever get to go on it, or maybe two of the people want to do?
Oh, so that's what I was saying. I'm sorry about being long-winded. So, yeah, I didn't get to play saxophone. They stuck me with trumpet, and I was very upset and not into it. I was just not inspired to play it, because I really wanted to play saxophone.
Sure,
there was a little... There was a little girl on that show that played saxophone, and she would do those kind of like Little Richard, like, style, you know, and like from Little Richard songs, like that style of, like, saxophone.
You know, there's a great Little Richard story with saxophone. He was playing some, like, country fair or something with a real high stage, and when the sax solo came, he grabbed the guy by the back of it. He might have been a little high. Okay. So it's he threw the, you know, blow, right? Like, yeah, with Brother Steve.
Yeah.
So, but he threw him off the stage. The guy broke both his legs. He kept playing, though.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All the way down. Okay, so you give up trumpet. Like, fuck this shit. What, like after a semester or something?
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not committed to it. I mean, I did what I had to do in the, you know.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one, because remember those BMG, like, clubs? BMG, like, CD for a penny. And
right. It was first Columbia House, and then BMG bought Columbia. Sony
right.
Music, yeah.
That,
right.
So,
that's how I got into it, too. For a dime, I got 10 8-tracks.
Yeah, so it's hard to say, because I remember doing that, but I guess... Okay, so one thing I remember buying, and I still have the receipt for it, because, like I said, I'm kind of a hoarder. I don't normally hoard paper, but it was a very formative experience for me, so I kept the receipt. But anyway, it was Lydia Lunch, Roland S. Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Shotgun Wedding.
No,
CD.
That's a good record. That's a fucking great
Borders.
Record. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell the listeners. Roland Howard's from Birthday Party, and... Lydia Lunch, of course, from Teenage Jesus and Jerks. And this is a great collab, that record. Wow. And what was the first gig you saw, Kylan?
Well, the first gig I saw was with my parents at the state fair or country fair. It was Crystal Gayle. But,
yeah, that's all right. She can sing.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, she's cool. I love, what is it, One from the Heart?
Yep.
Tom Waits. Yeah, so, but the first concert I went to on my own was with my cousin, and it was like my parents dropped us off. It was the Cranberries and Toad the Wet Sprocket. It was like 1995.
I think they were California Toad, and the other guys were Scotland, I think. Okay, so after this nightmare with the trumpet.
Like the summer of 17.
You have the trumpet foisted on you, right? And you fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
When's the next time you get musical?
The next time I get musical after that is, oh, wait, I skipped something. Sorry, I forgot about this. So when I was like kindergarten to third grade, I went to Catholic school, And we had a singing group that would, like, perform out, and we had matching outfits, and, you know, we traveled and did different performances. And anyway, I sang in that group. It was called Rainbows of Love, and we actually released a tape. It was just something that, like, people that went to the church could buy, but it was, like, professionally made. Like, it had a cover, and it was printed, and,
You went to a studio then, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to a studio, and I sang a verse, I remember a solo verse, on this one song. It was called Wouldn't It Be Great, and it was like, wouldn't it be great if the world was, if the world didn't have selfishness and hate, and people had, I can't even remember, and it was like, my verse was about, like, it was like this sort of little, like, narrative snapshot of, like, a homeless person, and, like, how they need, you know, whatever. They're, charity, like, living this, yeah, existence, and that we should help them and stuff like that. Yeah. So mine was
What Would Jesus Do?
What Would Jesus Do? Yeah, yeah,
like, most people don't like to talk about it, right? But that's like trying to apply it right there. So that's pretty heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty, yeah, heavy, as the saying. Okay, so you already got ready for touring and stuff.
Yeah.
This, early experience. But, okay, let's jump now past the trumpet thing. When do you get music?
Oh, okay,
open?
Sorry.
No, there's no problem. No problem.
So then after that, I believe the next thing is when I'm in middle school. Okay, when I'm in middle school, I mean, this was like a kind of failed attempt. My friend and I decided we wanted to perform. So there was this record label. So at this point, I live outside, like, I live in Manassas, Virginia, which is pretty close to D.C. My friend and I are really into, like, you know, college rock, quote unquote. And, like, there's this band Tuscadero. They're on Teen Beat.
Oh, yeah.
Record.
I got to play with them once.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah. Square the stage. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So we loved all that stuff.
Well, Jenny, who's in that band? There's a lady in that band that I knew.
Yeah, the singer's a woman. I don't remember her name.
Look, we're going to have to continue this story, Kylan, because we're at the end of the first hour, October 27, 2021.
Oh, okay.
There's why people are so special guests. I got it right. Kylan Lunsford. Hold tight, Kyle, okay. Two. October 27, 2021, second hour, Walk from Pedro Show.
out there on the loose. They're clear that the streets are for everybody's safety. Bands of vibration circling in the dark. Convinced this is someone's fault. Looks for someone else to haunt. Bands of vibration.
Going up like a ba 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 ba
Show start off the second hour. Taiwan Housing Project, Subterranean Pedigree. Thomas Prendon from the DC area, more close to Richmond. I think VCU people. Busting out of the playpen. Black humor from the city over on this side. Adult People's Woo-hoo! Rights, okay. Landowner from England. Phantom Vibration and Kylan Lunsford. Sewerland. Okay, so. You see this band Tuscadero, and you and your buddy want to make a band like this?
Well, so we wanted to play one of their songs at the school talent show. So we tried out for that, and they rejected us. So that was my next failed attempt.
God, you don't even make the talent show to be told no. You're told no before.
I know.
What a bunch of dicks. Now you know Tuscadero, yeah. Right? It's also the name of some lady on Happy Days. That lady, that actress, was the first woman I saw play rock and roll, Susie Quattro, bass lady. Mm. She opened up for Alice Cooper. I was like 16. Yeah, because there was ladies in rock and roll, but you didn't see a lot of them, not to the movement. So anyway, that was fucked up of them. So you had enough negative experiences to make you hate music, but you kept going at it.
Yeah, so then the next one was like, I mean, I did try to take guitar lessons, but I was so bored by it. Like, I just wanted to play what I wanted to play, and I wanted someone, I'm like, okay, just show me, like, the basics to do, like, to play, like, a Chuck Berry song. Like, I just wanted them to show me how to play. I remember telling the guy, I was like, I like Chuck Berry and Johnny Thunders. Can you just,
great.
Show me how to play like that.
And you know, they're very related, too. I think Johnny Thunder learned buttloads off Chuck Berry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So,
but he had his own thing, too. He was beautiful. Both those guys.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, there were some righteous old R&B blues guitarist ladies like Memphis Minnie.
Oh, yeah.
You know about that, right?
Raw.
Nobody brought it out, you know, but this stuff was happening. It was happening. Even Bo Diddley's rhythm guitarist, right? He had a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody could teach you that. What, they wanted to show you what, the Metallica stuff or something?
No, I think I'm just impatient and I'm kind of like, I'm like ADD and I just want to like, I don't like reading directions.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like an indication of where I'm coming from, maybe. I just want to like dive into whatever it is. And I wanted to, like, just do raw shit. Like, I didn't want to just, like, be, like, playing, like, hot cross buns or, like, whatever.
No, you want your hands full of it, man. You don't want to be just touching a little tactile. You want to be in
it.
Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah, so then it was, like, I finally met, I met this guy, like, by accident. I used to, like, get rides to D.C. to just, like, go to whatever random show was happening that night, so... Whatever night that was, I got, like, dropped off at the Black Cat, and I was just, like, hanging out there. I think it was actually the Dirty Three. I think the Dirty Three
Great band. Warren.
Yeah.
Look, there's another connection, because Warren Ellis is the main music man for Nick Cave now, which...
Right.
Right? Howard played guitar for in birthday party. It's all connected.
Right. Right, so that was a really exciting show for me because I hadn't really heard music like that before.
Beautiful. I got to jam with them. We were like the Filthy Four when the big day out was like in the middle 90s when I was helping the Portal for Pyro guys. So, but this gig is like a sea change for you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Because, so, I had never seen music like that before or heard it. And then also I met a guy who, so I had fallen asleep after the show because I was waiting for a ride, and I fell asleep in like the bar area. Like there was this little alcove that had seating, and I fell asleep in there, and he came and he tapped on me and was like, "Are you okay? Like there was like a guy kind of like watching you, and I'm just trying to make sure like you're okay." And I was like, "Oh yeah, like I'm fine. Thanks for looking out for me." So anyway, he's like, "Well, I wanted to talk to you about, I wrote this script for," he's like, "I just like shoot like films on like eight track, but yeah."
Oh no, like a Super 8. Yeah.
Super 8.
It meant 8 millimeter, yeah. The size of the little
track. Right, 8 millimeter. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so he had written a script out and he was like showing it to me. He had a notebook and I was like, "Wow, this guy's kind of out there, but he seems cool and like nice or whatever." So of course, you know, I'm like 16 or something. And he's like, I'm like, "Can you give me a ride home?" 'Cause I think like my ride like wasn't coming anymore. It was like, yeah, I was there until the end and like waiting for someone. I don't really remember. But anyway, so luckily he wasn't a serial killer.
Fucking sick.
We ended up becoming friends. And from there, he was a person that was into a bunch of bands that like, you know, just like kind of improvised and like didn't play, as like rudimentary as like people say like Chuck Berry riffs are or something. To me, it was still like, "Oh, I don't know how to do this." He was like playing, this friend of mine that I met, his name is Gary, actually. Gary was just like, he's just like playing. I mean, he can play really well too, but he was like listening to stuff and like, was getting into more like improvisational, like experimental style stuff.
Yeah.
And so that really, I kind of latched onto that and just was like, "Oh, I can just like make sounds. And like, if they sound cool to my ear, like that's good enough. Like there's no secret or something that I need to unlock here."
Or permission that you need to get.
Right, right.
That's important. That's really important. Look, I want to play some more Taiwan Housing Project. You gave me maintenance of an application.
Situation, get home. Thank you. Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show, that chunk of music, Maintenance of an Application, Taiwan Housing Project. Then My Daddy Ate My Eyes with B is for Baroque. I think of Baroque. No, Trocadero, Philly, downtown. That was a burlesque. Mm. That's a Baroque. That's burlesque. Yeah, B-word. <B-word>, okay. Love Bounded by Water, The Crisis of Desire, and finally, Taiwan Housing Project. In a cartoon, I can sing. So people, off air, I was enlightened to the fact that actually Little Claw was the first project, or as the earlier project, then Taiwan Housing Project. But let's continue on the story. Does this lead up to Little Claw?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, so at that point, I'm in high school, I guess, and then Gary and I jam. Like, we, you know, I do some vocalization, sort of talking over, like, this sort of chaotic music. And then we're using, like, a two-track Tascam, I guess. And so there's that, and that doesn't really, I mean, it doesn't become like a band or anything. It's just like we just mess around. And then I graduated high school, moved to Seattle, and then, or Washington State, Tacoma first, then Seattle. And I started a band. I put an ad out in the weekly there, the whatever in the hell it's called, The Stranger, I guess.
Yeah, Stranger.
Yeah, and so I put an ad out in that, and someone contacts me, like, instantly, like, the day the ad appeared, and then meet up with those guys, two guys that are playing together. Then from there, I meet, they recruit this guy, Heath, Heemsbergen, who ends up being the guy I start Little Claw with.
Oh, okay. Was there anything made of that band, or was it short-lived?
Yeah, we recorded a couple times, but we never put any of it out. It was kind of, like, goofy, or I don't know. I mean, some people thought it was cool. I just, it was sort of, like, even though I heard someone write, or I saw someone write about it at some point in the last few years, and they said, oh, it was, like, an eclectic mix of, like, goth and, like, rockabilly and, like, da-da-da. To me, it wasn't eclectic. I thought it was, like, kind of more by the numbers, but I guess that's just based on what I really wanted to be doing. It was by the numbers.
Right, right. But, your expectations didn't match the reality on the dealio. Did this band have a name?
Yeah, it was called The Dark Places, but I was just a singer because
right,
I wasn't
right.
confident.
Even
I
though you put confident. Out, but you put out the ad to get the band going, it ended up not
right.
being your band in a way.
Yeah, well, I advertised myself as a vocalist because I wasn't confident playing an instrument live or anything. I didn't feel like I was. It was something I enjoyed doing and could like mess around at home on or like write songs. But I felt like, oh, well, I need to, like, leave this up to the professionals or something, kind of. Even though I loved, like, you know, like I said, I was into all this, like, music where people were, like, totally unpracticed and, like.
Right, right. Exploratory. You know, experimental.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, October 27, 2021, edition Juan Pedro Show. Special guest, Kylan Lunsford. Hold tight for hour three. October 27, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show. Third hour start off with Little Claw, Frozen in the Future. Then reboot with the last and seventh part of The Golem. Retelling of that tale. Re-realized, I should say. EYE. Hand grenade after that. I can't, foreign people learning English, right? ICE. What? How the fuck could you ever learn shit like that? Anyway, Team Dresh, they're from Olympia, not far, right? The other state.
Yep.
Capital of the state. And Team Dresh, Donna Dresh, incredible bass lady, and this is her band, Team Dresh with Hand Grenade. So, and then Lil Claw, Disordering of the Senses. So, you and Heath, Lil Claw starts out as a duet.
Well, it starts out with us, so at this point now, we move a lot. At this point now, we're in Detroit. It's the summer of 2003. There's a blackout.
That happened to the Stooges with Sonics at the, I remember this exactly. We had to make up the gig years later.
Yes, I remember it too. I was at work. I had tickets to go. I'm, like, so excited because I'm leaving work early, and then the fucking power goes out. And it's like, I was kind of happy at first because I'm like, oh, I can leave even earlier. But then it was like, oh, wait, no, this is, like, a crisis. Like, this is, like, an emergency. Oh, shit. So, anyway, Heath and I were living in Detroit. Actually, I was living in Hazel Park. He's in Hamtramck, but, you know.
I know Hamtramck's. Paychecks, Smalls. Polish enclave of Detroit there. I think the most bars per block at one period.
Right. So, right by there. So he and I are like, just like trying to pass the time, right, with no electricity and everything. So, I'm hanging out at his house because my apartment was unbearable. And we're just jamming on like acoustic guitars and, I don't know. We wrote a bunch of songs, and then we were just like, well, fuck it. Like, let's start a band, and I'll actually play guitar this time.
Right, and this is the first batch. Okay.
Yeah, because he had been trying to convince me to play guitar. He wanted to take Dark Places and, like, turn it into a thing where I was what Little Claw became, like the singer-guitar player. Okay. And then he played, like, rhythm guitar.
Okay.
That's what he wanted to do in Dark Places, but I kept saying, oh, I don't know, I can't, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but eventually, like, this happened, and we wrote songs, and I had...
What about the first Little Claw gig? What was that like?
Oh, the first Little Claw gig was amazing. So, there are actually three gigs, I think. They were in Ohio. There's this band, the Bizarros. Do you know that band?
Sure, sure.
He's 70. Yeah. So I had written to the, well, Heath had been pen pals with the guy Nick Nicholas from the Bizarros at one point, and then I started writing to Nick Nicholas, and then I told him we had this band, and like, he's like, oh, we should, and I was like, we'd love to have you guys play and like play with you guys, and they kind of were starting to like practice again and had new songs and stuff, but they hadn't played out, I think, in a while. So anyway, we got them to, like, do a show, like, three shows with us. We did this, like, little mini tour of, like, Akron, Cleveland, and I can't remember the third. Well, they came to Detroit, too. So anyway, we did, like, this mini tour in our cars of Ohio and with the Bizarros, and it was just, it was really great.
So that
was really...
One of those gigs was the first one.
Yeah, the one in Akron was the first one.
And you're saying it was a success.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was so much fun, and I couldn't believe it. There was such a like reaction to it. Like people were kind of like, "Whoa! Like this is I haven't heard anything like this before." Or like band, I don't know, people. Thought it was very interesting because it was like no wave, but like not in the way where in the, you know, early 2000s, like late 90s, etc. Like there was a bunch of cool people that were like kind of doing sort of no wave-ish stuff, but it was also sort of like jazz, and they could play really well. Like, we were like dumb, like caveman no wave, you know, five.
Well, like on the Teenage Jesus and the Jerk record, it's got Bradley Delp, right? Bass, and then I think Big Jim, was it just says drum. It's not drums, right? He just played a fucking snare drum.
Right.
Okay, let me play this more Taiwan housing project. We'll learn about them.
Yeah! Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Taiwan Housing Project, Charitable Fiend. That's trippy. Stowe Carter Project with Quarta Storia, Quinta Storia, huh? Fourth story, fifth story. And then Taiwan Housing Project, finally. Behind the Green Curtain, not the Green Door, people. Clean your mind up. Tell me, enlighten us to Taiwan Housing Project.
Oh, yeah. What do you want to know?
How did it happen? Well, it happened after Little Claw.
Yeah. So, I lived in Thailand for almost a year, and then I came back to the States, and I was staying with my mom in Delaware. My mom's from Delaware, and she moved back there after my parents divorced, and I graduated high school and all that. So anyway, I was staying with my mom, and then when I finally found a place and whatnot and a job, I moved to Philly, and that was within a really short period of time, so that's like a couple of months or something. So anyway, my friend here, Tom Lax, who runs Silk Breeze Records, introduced me to, I guess my friends were coming here to play. They were on tour. They're called Sad Horse. They're from Portland, and they're a great duo. And they wanted me to open for them, like do a solo set. And so I asked Tom, you know, he helped me find like a kind of backing band. And he also set up the show and put Mark Feehan on the bill doing a solo set, who used to be in Harry Pussy and does a lot of really awesome solo stuff. And Tom put out his first solo record. Marky and I met each other at the show. We played together, and we were both really into what the other was doing, and like started talking about like Mark's really into like ancient Roman history and like Latin and stuff, and I studied Latin, and I don't know, we started talking about catalysts and shit like that and Roman poetry, and anyway, we just hit it off and so I started going over to his apartment, and we started recording stuff on the computer and putting it on, I believe, SoundCloud. And we just, at some point, we like suddenly had like a decent amount of songs, you know, because sometimes we'd record like three songs in a night. Like we were just really prolific with it. And then it was weird because it was just a SoundCloud account. And then people started like, we had to name it something, right, to put it on SoundCloud. So we're like, I had been telling him about these like pod houses that were on the shorefront in Taiwan that had been these like luxury, like sort of like experimental, weird, like they were like Northern Europe designed like bubble pod homes that were like primary colors and shit, and they had failed miserably. They fell into disrepair, and nobody ever moved into them because nobody that had a lot of money, they were these luxury homes, nobody that had
white
a lot
elephant.
Of money,
I think we call it white
wanted
elephant.
To yeah, nobody wanted to like to vacation in on the shores of Taiwan that had money in Taiwan. They wanted to go somewhere tropical, somewhere else, you know.
Maybe
and so
Thailand.
Anyway, they became squats. They were squatted by people. And anyway, I was just really taken by that. I think it's a great just illustration of.
But is there still Taiwan Housing Project stuff coming out? Because you say you got Little Claw stuff coming out. So are they ongoing concerns?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So yeah, we're still going. And it started out as just a recording project, which is why it ended up with project on the end. Kind of a stupid pun. But we put out a CDR and then of our stuff that was from SoundCloud, because suddenly like some people were like putting it on best of list, like year end best of list. And we were like, oh, okay. It was just like a SoundCloud account.
Oh, wow.
And
that shows to go you never know.
Yeah, no, you don't.
So let the freak flag fly. Man, I wish I could talk to you for the next week about this, but we're out of time, Kylan.
Oh, okay.
Right, so I'm so sorry. But look, you get more of this Taiwan Housing Project, more of this Little Claw. Come back on the show, please.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Thank you so much. People, it's been October 27, 2021. Dishwap People, so keep your powder dry.